Hacking, data, and identity theft are causing devastating problems. Globex Data is the solution for privacy and security in the digital world. Switzerland has the world's strictest privacy laws, and Globex Data's Swiss-hosted platform is outside of big tech with no data mining. Globex Data is now launching in the USA, offering email and messaging privacy and security to all Americans. Globex Data Limited, stock trading symbol SWISF. Web address, globexdatagroup.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS, Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome David Shedd of the Heritage Foundation, former acting director of the DIA. But David and I are going to be 20-year younger men for this. David, a very good evening to you. Your memory of 9/11/2001, where were you, and what did you think when you first heard of a plane flying into one of the World Trade Center towers, and how did your day spell out? Good evening to you, David.
Good evening. It was 20 years ago that I was going into work at a normal time, which would have been about 6 o'clock, to the White House, to the old executive office building where I was serving on the National Security Council staff for Dr. Condoleezza Rice and Steve Hadley as the deputy. And on that fateful day, I, like so many others, saw the attacks occur in a way that everyone gathered around the television set, only to see that on a beautiful day in Washington, D.C., this unimaginable event was occurring. In that it just struck me as very odd that airplanes would be going into, or an airplane alone would go into, the Twin Towers or the Pentagon. From my window, I saw the billowing smoke then on the east side of where the plane had come in from Dulles into the west side of the Pentagon building. And at that point, I realized, as it sunk in very quickly, that we were under attack. The initial thought that I had was there was more to come. And so we gathered very quickly around the NSC staff and tried to figure out what to do from there.
And what was the decision-making in Washington? Was the concern for a second or third or follow-on? Was that information that was given to you all, or did you all spontaneously arrive that we better get out of here?
We all arrived at the same conclusion that perhaps the White House would be a target, or Capitol Hill, or both. That was certainly one of the permeating thoughts along the corridors of the NSC. And we quickly evacuated then from the old executive office building onto 17th Street there in Pennsylvania. And so we were out on the street for a while before getting called back in to go into the Situation Room or elsewhere in the building, where we started to make plans in terms of what the day would look like. Obviously, I tried to reach my home. I couldn't get through on the cell phones or on any phone to my wife and two sons. And so that was part of the chaos that everyone was going through.
Washington became very silent, I'm told. New York did. All of a sudden, the plane stopped. The boats stopped in the Hudson River. Can you hear that silence now, David? Because I'm told there was no traffic downtown at all in Washington.
Yes, the silence was in its own way deafening. And in other words, left a very eerie feeling. And I remember in the pit of my stomach just sensing a certain unknown about the environment that we were in, not knowing whether there'd be additional attacks. And I often wondered, because there wasn't a good plan of exiting from the White House compound or the grounds, that a second attack on all the personnel standing out, again, loitering literally in the streets in the immediate outside of the fence and gates, would have been a perfect second target in terms of going after the personnel in the White House. And as we know, the president was down in Florida in a kindergarten class or in a elementary school reading to some students when he got the word. So he wasn't there, but everybody else was.
20 years later, you published in the Daily Signal that everything has changed for the intelligence community. Everything has changed for the better. How so, David?
Well, there was an immediate shift directed by President George W. Bush, our 43rd president, in the aftermath of the attacks to have the intelligence community almost become a combatant command, if I can use that term, for executing the war on international terrorism that had taken place on 9/11. And the immediacy behind that was to have Director of CIA George Tenet take that lead. And immediately my colleagues from CIA began to shift dramatically as they moved into the planning stages and execution of going into Afghanistan to go after the perpetrators and planners and operational aspects of those who were behind the 9/11 attacks. And that began very quickly. So that shifted very quickly. On the analytics side, and this is very important, all of a sudden there was a completely redirection toward trying to understand who Al-Qaeda is, and we know that much better today, and its affiliates and all of that. But remember, on 9/11/2001, if you said Al-Qaeda to someone, they thought that you were speaking some odd language to them, as opposed to understanding that you were talking about a Islamist fundamentalist group under Osama bin Laden.
If I read you correctly, at that time, the FBI was not integrated into national security intelligence gathering. And has that changed profoundly as well?
That's changed dramatically. The FBI, up until that point, was essentially a counterintelligence agency when it came to the intelligence component to their law enforcement activities. What changed then is that they became intelligence collectors for the domestic side, which is prohibited by law for CIA to do, and the NSA and other agencies in the intelligence community, which had really spent the better part of 40 years focused on external collection. But the FBI then became, over time, a full-fledged member of the intelligence community in gathering what us as professionals would say positive intelligence, that is, knowledge about potential plots and other things inside the United States that may very well be connected to the outside, but not necessarily.
20 years later, there are new threats. Cyber is something you've guided me to understand. Is cyber now understood to be part of the terrorist arsenal?
Cyber has for a number of years been a component of the terrorist toolkit in that their communications have often been developed and executed on the dark web, in chat rooms, and that sort of thing. What we haven't seen, although it's certainly feasible to consider, that the attacks that might occur in the cyber domain and all of that may be led by terrorists. So far, that's largely been state actors, Russia, China, and others, and non-state actors such as organized crime in terms of actual attacks into the cyber sphere. But I wouldn't rest on that as being something that we can say will not occur in terms of what the terrorists may use in the future.
The non-state actors, Al-Qaeda and their iterations, certainly ISIS is mentioned these days commonplacely. Do they present the scale of threat they did in 2001, or has that changed as well? Has our readiness made them less dangerous?
I will start with the end of your question. They're less dangerous because we know more about them. And this is in the pre-collapse of Afghanistan. And I want to touch on that in a second. But our understanding of Al-Qaeda, ISIS, and other affiliates like Al-Shabaab in Somalia and other locations are places where we've either had intelligence collection on the ground locally or through partners in terms of surrounding states and nation states where that collection can take place, and a much better understanding so that we could actually disrupt them. And that's been a joint effort between our intelligence agencies and, of course, our colleagues on the defense side in terms of the joint operational side of special operations.
The withdrawal from Afghanistan, if I read you correctly, we lost an important purchase in Afghanistan. Does that limit our ability to know what the transnational threat is? We have less than a minute.
Yes, significantly reduces our capability to understand the planning and potential then for execution of terrorist plots by these elements that may not, in fact, be entirely Taliban. They may be associates of Taliban. They may be even loosely affiliated with them by having territory in which they can operate with impunity without our presence there to be able to cover them. And that is a big issue for us.
And that was always the concern, as you know, David. The ungoverned space is where the bad guys prosper. And right now we've increased the ungoverned space with the withdrawal from Afghanistan. David Shedd, former acting director of the DIA, now at the Heritage Foundation, writing at Daily Signal about the improvement, the vast improvement of intelligence gathering in 20 years since the attack. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Data privacy, hacking, ransomware, and data theft have become devastating problems for businesses and individuals. Globex Data has the solution. Switzerland has the world's strictest data privacy laws, and Globex Data's Swiss-hosted secure application, spelled S-E-K-U-R, uses a proprietary technology outside of big tech, which means your data remains private and secure. Globex Data just signed two telecom giants to distribute its secure communication solution to over 400 million people in 30 Latin American and Asian countries. Secure is the solution for messaging and email privacy with no data or phone number mining. Secure users can message non-secure users in full privacy and security using chat by invites. Globex Data is now available in the U.S., bringing messaging and email privacy and security to all Americans. This Data Privacy Minute has been brought to you by Globex Data Limited. Stock trading symbol SWISF. Web address globexdata.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.